You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
To the crossover edition of the Locked On Ravens and the Locked On Broncos. We're joined here, Jacob and myself are joined here with the Locked On Broncos guys. How's it going?
Good, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for having us here on a crossover show. Love doing these things with you guys, and obviously it's going to be fun to talk Broncos Ravens with you and Matt.
Yeah, it feels good to be here. Feels good to talk with you guys, talk about the Baltimore Ravens, and talk about a fascinating game, fascinating matchup this weekend.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Yeah, it's a good one. Obviously, the Denver Broncos are 2-0. The Baltimore Ravens 1-1 coming off that Thursday night loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. So some stuff that really could matter in terms of the AFC playoff race come week 17. The winner of this game could edge the other one out one way or another. So some exciting stuff early in the season.
Very much so, and you really have to take into consideration when you play these, not even divisional, but conference-style games, you have to factor in tiebreakers, and that's something that you always have to factor in at the end of the season. I know the Broncos are playing the whole entire division that the Ravens, the Browns, the Steelers, and the Bengals all play this year. They have to play all those teams, so those matter big time when it comes to the tiebreaker scenarios at the end of the year, especially as the wild card race in the AFC. I feel like it's always tight every single year. You never know who's going to get in. So this is a big game, and it's a big test for the Broncos because this is the first game on the road. They started the first two games at home, big win over the Seahawks, and edged out a win over the Raiders in week two. So now you go on the road, Joe Flacco. It's always tough to play in Baltimore.
It is. It is. And it's certainly it's another, home game for the Baltimore Ravens. The stadium tends to be loud, especially against, the Denver Broncos. It's a team that, weirdly, they don't play enough. But the Ravens fans definitely get kind of after things in these matchups. But real quick, we're going to go ahead and go over what happens when the Baltimore Ravens have the football. We're going to go over what happens when the Denver Broncos have the football. And then we're going to kind of go over some keys of the game. Real quick, our sponsors for today are MyBookie and Vivid Seats. So what happens when the Denver Broncos have the ball? I mean, what are we kind of expecting from this offense, you guys?
Well, I think when you look at the Broncos offense, the first 2 weeks, you've seen a very aggressive approach from Case Keenum, throwing 4 interceptions in his first 2 games. He threw 3 against Seattle, 1 against the Oakland Raiders in the red zone, and that was a very momentum-swinging play. So realistically for the Broncos this week, I think you really have to come up with a more balanced game approach. Tell Case Keenum, settle down, don't force it into tight windows. A lot of times the Raiders played a lot of cover 2 and a lot of cover 4, so they had 2 safeties over the top. They had underneath coverage from the inside linebackers and underneath coverage from the inside nickel slot corners. At that point, you can't really force it into windows where it's not necessarily there. That's what Case Keenum did. I would expect Case Keenum to go against crossing routes this week, maybe take a couple of shots here, but really utilize the tight end more in this matchup against the Ravens. And obviously, you have your run game. You have your two horses, Royce Freeman, your first-round pick, and Phillip Lindsay, who went undrafted, who's absolutely taking the NFL world by storm right now. He's the first rookie in NFL history who is undrafted to have over 100 yards in all-purpose yards in his first 2 games. So that's a big stat for him. He's an energetic guy. He's a wild card factor, very springy, very quick, and the Broncos want to utilize him in the run game in between the tackles, as well as getting him outside in a one-on-one matchup with an outside linebacker or even a smaller nickel corner, because he's very quick. I think his speed is unbelievably impressive, and that's something I think that Bill Musgrave and the Broncos offense really want to utilize more so this week.
Yeah, I'll say this in writing up some articles earlier before this. I was actually kind of surprised to find that the Broncos are tied for 13th in the most points scored so far. And granted, it's only 2 weeks, but I'll be honest, I did not really expect a Case Keenum-led offense to be kind of in the upper end of the NFL. That was kind of when we were looking at the schedule ahead of this. That was kind of one game in which I can go, well, you can pretty much mark off their offense. They've got tons of talent outside of quarterback, but you can kind of mark off that offense as being just probably one of the lower end in the league based on what we kind of saw last year, especially. So kind of surprising there. And then obviously it looks like CJ Mosley, the inside linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, isn't going to be playing in this one. He's still kind of dealing with that bone bruise while the official report hasn't come out yet. And Coach Harbaugh is being maybe a little bit coy about it. It's a bone bruise. Pretty much anyone, if you look up anywhere or talk to any doctor, they go, it's 2-6 weeks in that general ballpark. So it'd be weird to see him shortly after going ahead and having the initial injury. So certainly the middle of the field should be open. It was open really week one. It was open week two. And that was with Mosley even there in the first game and in the first little bit against the Cincinnati Bengals. So certainly there's some matchups to win there if you're the Denver Broncos. I mean, I'll say this. It looks like let me ask you guys, I should say. Case Keenum, I kind of looked through his stats. I looked where he was at previously. I looked up some of the Pro Football Focus stuff on him. He seems to be a guy, just by all accounts, if you can get to him, if you can kind of get in his head early on, it seems like he's kind of ruined for the day. Is that fairly accurate after what you guys have seen after two games?
I think for me, based on his career, I would say yes. I think with the Minnesota game, Minnesota, when he was with Minnesota, he would at least show that he could get out and throw the ball rather quickly. What's interesting is this year, it seems like he's holding the ball a little bit more. He's been a lot of questionable decisions when he goes through his reads, first, second, and third read, or even when a wide receiver is open, just, you know, missing him completely. For instance, there was a play, I think, where Thomas ran a corner route, and he should have thrown it a little bit earlier, and he hit him right when he was on the sideline before when the defensive back closed on him. So it's possible that, you know, that might be nerves early on for Case Keenum, at least with being part of a new team. But, you know, then again, I mean, he played pretty well in preseason. He played pretty well, you know, into training camp. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher, but my guess is, you know, the timing and everything isn't there for Case Keenum. So coming into this Baltimore Ravens game, I still expect some nerves or some sense of being rattled with him. But over the season and over the course of the season, my guess is that is going to change, and you're going to start to see maybe the Case Keenum we saw with the Minnesota Vikings, or at least Broncos country is certainly wishing that they could see the Case Keenum that was with the Minnesota Vikings and led them far into the playoffs.
Well, I think too, to kind of support Cameron's point there, you know, you mentioned like kind of being rattled a little bit. Case Keenum responded really well for the Broncos in the second half against the Raiders. You know, in the first half, he played absolutely atrocious. His reads, he wasn't going through his progression. He threw that interception into pretty much a triple coverage in a window that really wasn't there for the tight end, and he didn't have that consistency going. However, in the second half, that leadership dynamic that we've always talked about with Case Keenum, he's always had that to him. He really showed, and he really rallied, and he had a great second half, and he found his top target, Emmanuel Sanders, for 3 additional catches. He had 94 total yards receiving. That was a big thing for them, and also looking for guys like Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton, some rookie wide receivers. He showed a lot of poise, and I would say for Case Keenum so far, what we've seen right now from him at quarterback compared to Trevor Siemian, compared to Paxton Lynch, I say we have a more resilient quarterback right there, and he's got a lot of confidence despite early struggles on the season. He has a ton of confidence. He's demonstrated the ability to shake that off and to come back and to play a better game in the second half. But can he put it together for 4 quarters? That is where we truly see how special Case Keenum is.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'll ask this, since obviously the run game has done incredibly well for you guys. I mean, Philip Lindsay, 178 yards, a 6.1 yard per carry average. Royce Freeman, 99 yards, 4.3 yard per carry average. Even Devontae Booker, 21 yards on 5 carries, 4.2 yard per carry average. Certainly seems like the offensive line's doing its job, both in maybe protecting Case Keenum, giving him a little bit of time, but more importantly, opening up run lanes, which is not what the Baltimore Ravens have done well when you go back to even last season. That defensive line just is not cutting it considering the amount of talent they have there. Is that really a strength on this Denver Broncos offense?
Surprisingly, this year it became a strength. Last year and the last couple of years since Peyton Manning, even back to Peyton Manning's final year in 2015, the Broncos offensive line was it was very questionable. It was made of glass. And this year, the Broncos offensive line is much more aggressive, much more nasty. They hired offensive line coach Sean Kugler, former head coach over there at UTEP down there in Texas, and he's kind of really instilled a different attitude in this team in terms of attitude, staying on blocks and just being nasty. Garrett Bowles, as a second-year tackle, has done a phenomenal job. And next to him, you have veteran guard Ron Leary, who made the move from right guard back to his natural position at left. That's helped. Matt Paradise is fully healthy as a center. He's an all-pro center for the Broncos. He's gotten a lot better. He's, you know, being fully healthy, having his hips all right and not injured, that's been huge for him. And then a right guard, Connor McGovern, has been very, very strong. He had one of the best grades, according to Pro Football Focus, for the Broncos this week on the offensive line. And Jared Valdir, a tackle they brought in from the Arizona Cardinals via trade, he got injured in that Raiders game. He's going through concussion protocol. Not sure of his status just yet, as we are, you know, kind of waiting on that on the injury report there. But concussion protocol, Billy Turner stepped in for him. He's been a guy that's been on the Broncos radar for quite some time as a swing tackle, swing guard guy, a guy that can be very dynamic for them. So the Broncos O-line this year, much nastier, much more aggressive, and that's kind of a surprise this year for a lot of fans of Broncos country. So, you know, we weren't, you know, when you were talking about the Ravens defense not really being able to stop the run, you know, last year I think the Ravens defense could have had success against the Broncos. Right now, the Broncos have a different identity, and I think it's going to be a very pivotal matchup this week, which we'll talk about here in segment three of our keys to the game. I think it's going to be one of the most imperative matchups for this entire game on both sides, for the Ravens defense and for the Broncos offense, in terms of establishing run and controlling the trenches.
Certainly. I mean, you win football games in the trenches. That's just the way it is. Everything else is just flash and makes the game look cool. But if you're winning on the offensive line and the defensive line, you're going to win that game 9 times out of 10. Real quick, I want to ask you about Emmanuel Sanders. Obviously, 231 yards receiving, a touchdown on 14 total receptions. He's doing wonders in my fantasy league. But it looks like he's going to be used kind of in the slot for the Denver Broncos, which really hasn't been a great thing for the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, there's crossing patterns, you know, your slants, that type of stuff, either working against an outside linebacker or against that slot or nickel corner. Is that kind of accurate where he ends up lining up, or is he going to be maybe pushed a little bit more so outside?
Well, it's kind of not been his history of being a slot receiver, so I can understand why it might be a little bit of a surprise, you know, at least for me and for a lot of the outside people, just because you just don't typically see Emmanuel Sanders in the slot. And I'm a little bit surprised in essence that he hasn't been utilized in the slot a lot more, because, you know, you move him into that particular area, he is just darn near unstoppable. He's flexible. He's quick. And I mean, he almost is kind of like Julian Edelman in that regard. And it's a little bit surprising that the Broncos might have waited a little bit till now, but what has afforded them to do that is when they drafted Cortland Sutton in the second round. And, you know, you get that big bodied 6'3", 6'4" wide receiver whose catch radius is out of this world. I mean, he made a catch, obviously, that was a touchdown that probably should have been a touchdown, I should say. But it's afforded them to be very flexible in using their matchups, which has given Emmanuel Sanders the opportunity to be in the slot and, you know, prove his worth as a dynamic wide receiver. And he's been such a game changer for the Broncos, and just as wide receivers go, because when he's been healthy, he's been the best wide receiver on the Broncos roster. And when you have Case Keenum, who is obviously a better quarterback than what the Denver Broncos originally had with Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian and, you know, and Brock Osweiler, you need a reliable guy, and in particular in the slot, potentially like an Emmanuel Sanders, who can do a lot of damage against those number three corners.
Excellent. And we're joined, if you're Ravens fans and you want to go ahead and check out a little bit more about what the Denver Broncos got going on for them, make sure you follow on Twitter, Cameron Parker PO. That's Cameron Parker, P as in peanut, O as in on. And then Cody Rourke NFL, CodyRoark NFL. And of course, you can always follow me, Matthew Stevens. I'm Matthew S underscore NFL. And you can always follow Jacob Trox3, TROX3. You can follow the Broncos, Locked On Broncos podcast, Locked On Broncos. And you can follow us, Locked On Ravens. Real quick, let's go ahead and cut to our sponsors. We've got MyBookie. If you're looking to go ahead and bet on this game, but I think as of right now, I saw that the odds were Ravens have 5 points on spread. They're favored by 5 points. That might be a tough matchup on that one. I see this one probably being a little bit closer than that. If you're going to go ahead and bet, go ahead and go with MyBookie. MyBookie is currently slammed with new bettors, though, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to wait to deposit until after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they're going to give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. But not only that, if you join now and you use our promo code LockedOn25, they're going to go ahead and match your deposit dollar for dollar. So if you go ahead and put in $100, they're going to go ahead and give you $100. So really, you're getting $125 free on $100. That's that, you're already winning. So join now. MyBookie will go ahead and get you extra cash if you use our promo code LockedOn25, LockedOn25. Go to MyBookie.com. Go ahead and bet on the game. Bet on the over-unders. Go ahead and bet on the fantasy scores for each one of these players. And you better believe I'm going to go ahead and maybe bet on Emmanuel Sanders from that slot position. That's going to be real tough for Baltimore to go ahead and combat, especially with C.J. Mosley possibly being out. Let's also talk a little about fantasy. Obviously, MyBookie has fantasy bets, but if you're looking for some extra fantasy news, fantasy football is underway, and we have two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts, with amazing guests every Monday, Tom Kesenich, Tuesday, Eric Edholm, and Wednesday, Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lochner. Segment two, guys. We're going to get to segment three here in a few minutes, and that's going to be kind of the keys of the game. What things are the biggest important thing for both the Baltimore Ravens and the Denver Broncos? But for segment two, I think we're going to be talking a little bit about what the Denver Broncos are going to be doing when the Baltimore Ravens have the football and they're marching down the field.
Oh, man, this is going to be a tough one. If the Ravens have the football now, I think if I am Harbaugh, I'm looking at this matchup, and I'm looking and I'm referring to what the Raiders did against the Broncos secondary. The Broncos secondary, for some reason this past week, they played 10 yards off the ball. It was a 3rd-and-2. They played 7 yards off the ball. And so John Gruden and his style of offense, they were hitting quick routes all day. One-step slants, smoke routes, arrow routes. They were getting guys the ball very quickly in their hands and obviously guys making a move. The Broncos secondary right now is facing a lot of question marks. And the biggest factor, when Joe Flacco has the football, you know he's looking at? He's looking at number 58 and he's hoping, okay, I got to get the ball quickly before this guy gets to me. So if the Ravens really want to have a lot of success here, you really look at the standard that, okay, I want to avoid getting hit by Von Miller because he can wreck the game. Harbaugh came out in his press conference and said, he's a guy, if we don't account for him, he can absolutely demolish our game plan. He's that good of a football player. He's playing at an unbelievable level right now in the NFL. It's been fun to watch him the last couple of weeks, even the last couple of years. But I'm looking at utilizing guys like Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree, and John Brown against this Broncos secondary. So you could expect that the Broncos, they're going to come out in their base package. You're going to see Todd Davis, Brandon Marshall on the inside. You're going to have Von Miller off the edge, Derek Wolfe, Adam Gotsis, Domantas Peko manning the interior, and the other outside edge guy being Bradley Chubb, the 5th overall pick in this year's NFL draft. On the outside, you're going to see Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, and the number 3 cornerback spot. You're going to probably see a little bit of Pac-Man Jones and Tremaine Brock. And outside of that, you really have to factor in a free safety, Justin Simmons and Darian Stewart. The Broncos, that's their base defense. You're going to see them come out in that a lot. If the Ravens come out in this game and they utilize more of an approach to going more spread, you know, going more 5 wide receiver sets, you can see the Broncos transition to their little nickel and dime package where you see Will Parks come in as a dime linebacker, Devontae Thomas, guys that can cover a tight end there. But if I'm Harbaugh right now, the offensive coordinator, and I'm looking at a game plan this week, week. I'm going to try to get the ball off to Michael Crabtree, who's had success against the Broncos. Aqib Talib's no longer on the Broncos anymore, so that's not really a storyline he has to worry about. But John Brown being a very speedy threat for the Ravens. Right now, I'd be looking right now for the Broncos defense, specifically in their secondary, being attacked in this game right here, especially with Joe Flacco, and just really kind of factoring into that decision. He's probably going to throw the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, and Jacob, I know you're a huge, John Brown fan. He's done a lot of good things. We kind of talked about him earlier in our previous episode, especially from a fantasy perspective. So if you don't have him on your fantasy team, it appears that very few people have him on their fantasy team. And I can tell you right now, for my league, he's doing pretty well for that second or flex spot. So Jacob, I mean, from a Ravens perspective, what do you think they need to do in order to attack this Denver Broncos defense?
Yeah, you know, you guys talking about the offensive line. I mean, I think really, especially when you have a player like Von Miller on the other side, it's going to come down to how you can manage against him. You're not going to be able to completely shut him out. And this is something that we'll get into with the Steelers the following week. You're not going to completely shut down great players like Antonio Brown. So it just comes to how you're going to deal with them. And I think part of what you heard John Harbaugh talk about on Monday was establishing the running game. And that's something we haven't really seen the Ravens come out and immediately try to get started in the first half of games. Alex Collins didn't even get to double-digit carries last week, so a little bit of that was game script. But I think it really all starts with Marshall Yanda. And I know coming back from injury after missing all of last year, we haven't really seen the same Marshall Yanda that we're typically used to seeing. But I think that if they can establish the run early, they can keep the defense a little bit off balance, and we'll see a little bit more of the Yondo that we're used to seeing. Because, you know, you hear a lot about running backs getting into a rhythm, and I think a lot of the same goes for run blockers, guys that, you know, are very good at establishing the run and helping set the line in that way. And I know Yondo benefits from that. I know he likes to get in that rhythm. We could see him kind of be part of that effort to calculate and get the run going. And like I said, when you have Von Miller, you're not going to stop him. You can only try to limit what he's going to do. So I'm interested to see in how the Ravens kind of look to combat that. Maybe I noticed a little bit of from what I saw on tape, the Raiders were trying to throw some screens and rollouts, try to use some different things, toss plays where they were moving in the opposite direction of Miller. And you know, that's another thing where they could maybe use Yanda going the other way, pulling as a guard, to just kind of get out of the way there. So that to me is kind of just the big thing to watch for. And I know Broncos fans are very familiar with Von Miller and what he's done over the years. I wanted to ask you guys, though, what have you seen teams, and this doesn't even have to be through the first two games, but just over the years, what have you seen from teams that when they have tried to limit Von Miller, has there been anything that has taken him out of the game a little bit?
I think for me, you know, you look at the Oakland Raiders game in particular. It was a few years ago, and it was where they did the double tight end sets, or the double, I think it was where they didn't max protect on the offensive line. When they did that, that's usually where, you know, everybody, or at least with Von Miller is concerned, just it seemed like he was neutralized. But we all know that the best neutralizer of a pass rush is the short passing game. And so it was interesting for me to see that Oakland not just be, you know, really good in that short passing game, but be rather efficient. And we all know that Derek Carr's history has been not good lately, but he's still a decent enough quarterback to get the job done. And so for him to be successful with it, and with Joe Flacco being a more established quarterback and obviously a more proven quarterback, who knows what that could entail for a Denver Broncos secondary, and in particular with a Denver Broncos pass rush that was neutralized against Oakland.
I'll say this, you know, I covered the Carolina Panthers for that Super Bowl run against the Denver Broncos. Not a lot can stop Von Miller. If what I saw out of that game was any indication of what he can do regularly, he put I remember him putting Michael Oher on skates and just pushing him 10 yards into the backfield while Oher tried to plant those feet in, and it did not work at all. So Von Miller is a beast and somebody that I'm personally kind of afraid of against somebody that's he's probably going to go up against James Hurst, the right tackle, who has just not done very well as a right tackle. So a scary, scary thought when you consider what that game looked like in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I just wanted to mention real quick, you know, you guys mentioned the two tight end sets. The Ravens won't have their first round pick Hayden Hurst available yet for this game. He's not practicing this week. But I think the Ravens do have the guys there to maybe do a little bit of that. You know, Mark Andrews is a guy that John Harbaugh, when he was talking Monday, said, you know, he's a better run blocker than you might think. For whatever reason, he gets into games and he can kind of turn it up a notch, you know, especially when he was talking about blocking, run blocking, pass blocking. So, you know, maybe that's something that the Ravens try to throw out there. And, you know, they have faced their fair share of pass rushers, especially in the AFC over the years. So it'll be interesting to see what different tactics, if any, they try to throw out there.
Well, with the loss of Sua Cravens for the Denver Broncos due to injury, just covering tight ends has been a little bit of a liability in years past. I mean, even though Jared Cook was only had around 40 yards, he still gashed him for a huge gain of over 20 yards. So it still is a big deficiency for the Denver Broncos defense. And my honest question, though, about the Ravens is they drafted Hayden Hurst to potentially be that guy of the future, but they went and surprised a lot of people and drafted Mark Andrews. And now I really liked Mark Andrews coming out of Oklahoma. I thought he was a much better athlete, you know, as far as a receiving threat. So what sort of went into their thinking? Because now they look like, you know, a brilliant front office, because, you know, they went and got Hayden Hurst, and now it seems like they're reaping the benefit with now Mark Andrews, and he's doing the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think a little bit of it is just Ozzie Newsome being a former tight end, being this his last draft. I don't think he would ever say this, or I don't think, you know, things like this are typically said, but him just being a tight end, I think he wanted to make sure he kind of left that position, you know, without a doubt, for the Ravens and the franchise moving forward. But again, it you know, he wouldn't take him, and this is what they always say, they wouldn't take a player if they didn't think he was the best player available. That's typically how the Ravens always draft, and I do kind of think that was the case. And you looked at just the receiving core as a whole coming into this year, it felt like there was no number of guys that you didn't want to keep bringing guys in. You did want to keep bringing guys in. You wanted to have as many possible guys added to this receiving core that was very mediocre last year, especially when you draft, and I know he's probably not going to play at quarterback this game, but Lamar Jackson, when you have a rookie quarterback come in with so many different receiving threats the same year, even if Lamar Jackson isn't going to start this year, you know, maybe it's 2, 3, 4 years down the road, he's going to build a rapport with these guys over the years, even if it's just in practice, to where when he comes to step into the game, he's already worked with these guys since day one. So I think there are a couple different factors with that. And then it just comes down to depth. That's always something in the NFL that's imperative. And the Ravens over the years have had their fair share of injury problems. And of course, it finally struck again here in the early weeks of the regular season. So and the late preseason. So that's just something I think they always kind of look for in the draft, where they can add to depth wise to different positions that of need.
I mean, I'll follow that up with saying that I think when the Ravens drafted Mark Andrews, the initial plan was you're going to sit him on the bench. I mean, Baltimore has kind of done that with a lot of their draft picks, in which we don't need you to start week one. It's okay. You can sit. You can learn the position a little bit better. You can get the speed of the game down. And within year two, year three, that's when you're going to step out there and you look like a veteran without really ever having done anything so far. So there's no tape on you. You come out fresh. They did it with Marlon Humphrey last year, that he didn't really get a whole lot of playing time before Jimmy Smith went down with his Achilles injury, and he's expected, you know, to start this year once Jimmy Smith comes back from his 4-game suspension. You know, so they've done that kind of throughout their entire draft history. With Mark Andrews, I think the plan was initially for him, you're just going to be a large slot receiver. You're just a giant man with a big catch radius, and if we put you out there, maybe 10% of the snaps over the course of the season as just a mismatch option in games in which we feel like you are a receiving threat, and you can line up well against a good safety or a outside linebacker who maybe has to now cover you. That's kind of where I think they initially planned him to be. Obviously, with Hayden Hurst going down with that stress fracture right before the regular season started, they kind of had to start pushing him up forward a little bit more. But they've also split kind of a lot of the same snaps with Max Williams and Nick Boyle. Williams has 6 catches, Andrews has 6 catches, and Nick Boyle has 5 catches. So they're all kind of hovering right around the same amount of receptions. But yeah, I think Andrews is a guy in which you just sit on the bench, and that was their initial plan, and hope that kind of worked out for him. And kind of like Jacob said, guy that you can grow with, and eventually when he kind of comes in and becomes a starter, then you can go ahead and you're rolling up all the rest of your guys at the same time. So it's kind of a plan for the future type of situation. But I'll say this about Mark Andrews. I wouldn't want him blocking anything. I wouldn't want him building with blocks. I don't want him in a Lego factory. just leave him off the field when it comes to run plays, and he's going to do okay. He had a touchdown last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, kind of, and showed exactly what he does. He's relatively sure-handed, everything considered, from what we've seen so far. And he does a great job running routes. He's a guy who can get open in that zone coverage really, really well, or right up the seam. He's got some speed to him. And of course, he's a skyscraper of a man. So it's kind of hard for Joe Flacco to not hit him at times. But other than that, I mean, I think that's kind of what you're getting with Mark Andrews right now. It's just part of that weird 3-headed tight end monster until Hayden Hurst comes back.
We also mentioned during the show that this show is brought to you by Vivid Seats. And you know what? We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band or going out there, being in the crowd, cheering on our favorite team. And you can have a chance to cheer on the Ravens and the Broncos this week if you're in the Baltimore area. Use Vivid Seats. Now, with Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, the show, or whatever sporting event of your choice that you want to attend, and you can attend it at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to, and you can sort them out by price, or you can take a look at seats and sections or rows that you are interested in sitting at. So to make things even better, Vivid Seats is offering listeners of Locked On Ravens and Locked On Broncos an exclusive promo code for $20 off of orders $200 or more, where you can save even more money. All you got to do is go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, that's one word, for a $20 off of orders that consist of $200 or more. Every single purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, satisfaction guaranteed as well. From the biggest concerts to the biggest games to the hottest theaters and much more, Vivid Seats has it all for you, the listener of Locked On Ravens, Locked On Broncos. So download the app, enter promo code Locked On for $20 off of orders of $200 or more, and you can make a memory that lasts you and your family a lifetime. And let Vivid Seats be the one that helps you get to your favorite live event.
I want to point out real quick, there are 2 tickets available, lower level, 140, row 10, right behind the end zone, $101 a piece. Perfect opportunity to go ahead and use that Locked On promo code there. Also, real quick, want to talk about our college shows. Locked On Network is constantly expanding with college shows. Coming this week is Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we're already locked on to the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Oh, my. Find your favorite college shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And of course, again, we're joined by Cameron Parker, P.O. You can catch him, Cameron Parker, P.O. on Twitter. Cody Rourke, NFL on Twitter, as well as Jacob Troxel. You can catch him at Trox3 on Twitter. And myself, Matthew S. _ NFL. And of course, always Locked On Broncos, Locked On Ravens on Twitter as well. Let's get into this third segment real quick. Keys to the game. I'll let you guys kind of start first. What are your biggest keys to this game for the Broncos to win?
Well, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think it's simple. For the Broncos defensively, when you look at what you have to accomplish, you have to get pressure on Joe Flacco, and your corners can't play off-ball coverage. Go back to what works. Chris Harris Jr., one of the best man coverage corners in the NFL. Bradley Roby is not a bad man coverage corner as well. Go back to that man-to-man press coverage on some of these guys. Don't allow guys like Willie Snead or John Brown to get a quick release across the field. If you do that, they're going to catch and run and get multiple yards. You have to be able to lock up. If you play press coverage, you can hope that with tight coverage, you can allow Von Miller to get to Joe Flacco and disrupt the flow of what they're trying to do. Offensively, for me, limit turnovers. You're going into hostile territory. I said it on yesterday's episode of Locked On Broncos. You cannot go on the road. I feel like if you go on the road, you have to have the mindset that you are already down 14 points. You're down two scores. You got to come into the game error-free, focused, and obviously protect the football and convert on scoring drives. Don't get into the red zone and throw an interception. If the Broncos can come into this game, reduce turnovers, and establish the run early on, I think it'll set up the pass later on. At that point, if you minimize turnovers, I think you have a great chance to win this game if you're a Broncos fan.
And Jacob, I mean, for you, what do you think is kind of one of the biggest keys for the Baltimore Ravens?
I know I talked about the offensive line before a little bit for the Ravens, but I think when you look at the Broncos front seven as a whole, I think it's important for Baltimore to come out with a game plan early to make sure that they have some kind of plan to make sure they're not kind of steering towards those guys. I mean, you have a guy I thought was capable of being the first overall pick in the draft, Bradley Chubb, that you added to this front seven. Brandon Marshall, Pecco, other guys, Derek Wolfe up there that are very widely renowned guys in this league that are veterans that are capable of causing a lot of problems for offenses. So I just want to see the Ravens play calling be very versatile. I want them to keep these guys off their toes. I don't like to see offenses just in general kind of with vanilla play calling when you have such great pass rushers on the other side, because they're able to just kind of pin their ears back and go after you for four quarters. So I want to see a balanced approach from Baltimore to keep those guys off balance.
Cameron, I think you had another key to the game for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I think to continue the offensive side of the ball, I would say that they have to start fast. The past 2 weeks, they've kind of put me into a little bit of a heart attack mode lately, and with all those comeback victories, and hey, those are great victories. Those are moral victories, but for Case Keenum, and I think that for his confidence, and because it, as Cody said, it is in a hostile environment, you do also have to limit your turnovers, but not just that. You also have to, like he did in the second half, utilize all of his weapons, utilize Jake Butt, utilize, Cortland Sutton a little bit more, and maybe even see Emmanuel Sanders, open up a little bit more versus what was used in the second half. Just use all the weapons, all the toys at your disposal, and start fast. And I think that that's been the biggest thing, that has been missing from the first half to the second half. I will say this, and interceptions are not a great thing, but I guess the only positive takeaway for Case Keenum is while he did only throw one interception, it wasn't three interceptions from the previous week. For that sake, he is limiting the turnovers, at least from week to week, it seems. So we'll see if it continues and he decides to throw zero.
You know what? After a two turnover game or two interception game from Joe Flacco last week, that kind of put the Baltimore Ravens in a hole. I understand exactly what you're talking about. I would have taken just one, would have been fine. Zero is even better, but not two or three if we could have that. To kind of echo your guys' points, I mean, I'll say the same thing that you guys kind of said about Joe Flacco. The Baltimore Ravens need to do to Case Keenum. If you get in Case Keenum's face, he is a veteran quarterback, but he doesn't have a ton of playing experience. And I'll be honest, these Baltimore Ravens, when they kind of get after a quarterback, can really make even some of the best quarterbacks in this league throw some weird passes. And they're notoriously great for kind of getting underneath of them or jumping routes and then turning them into big interceptions that go a long ways and give them great field position. They need to do that in this game as well, and make sure that you, if you take out Case Keenum and you do a great job of kind of limiting what he can do or force him into some weird mistakes, you're going to take out the run game. You're going to slow everything down a lot more in terms of what you're able to do defensively, then hand the ball back to that offense that, even though they really didn't show up for the first half against the Cincinnati Bengals, still put 23 points on a relatively talented Cincinnati Bengals defense. So this offense is more than capable of kind of shooting out if necessary, and starting a big lead by beating up on Case Keenum and just kind of harassing him would be kind of the nail in the coffin early on, I think, for the Denver Broncos. But guys, I think we're going to go ahead and cut it here. I know we're a little bit usually late from what we usually are. Lovely to have you guys from the Locked On Broncos. You can catch them at Locked On Broncos. And of course, that's Cameron Parker, P.O., Peanut On. I don't know why that's sticking in my head, but it is. And then Cody Rourke, NFL. You can catch me, Matthew S. underscore NFL. And then my co-host on Locked On Ravens, Trox3 for Jacob Troxel. So thanks very much, guys. It was an amazing crossover episode. And go Ravens.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. We'll definitely live tweet during the game. It'll be an interesting game on the road, like I said. First Eastern time zone game for the Broncos this year. That's always a challenge. Can the Broncos overcome the hump and obviously get to Joe Flacco and the Ravens? There's a lot of history there, but I'm excited. Once again, Broncos on the road, Ravens as well. Use Vivid Seats to get a ticket. Like Matt and Jacob said, you can get some good tickets there over at Vivid Seats for just about $100 a ticket. That's a great deal for the great end zone package price of it all. So, but yeah, thank you guys. Once again, appreciate all you guys and your work. We'll live tweet on Sunday.
Excellent, excellent. Hopefully I don't eat nearly as much crow as I did last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. But we'll be looking forward to going ahead and talking some trash as the game kind of goes down.